sat down with his back against a wall. Across the river, the lights of Ankh City glowed.
"You're a wizard," said the picture imp. "You'll think of some way to find him."
"Not much of a wizard, I'm afraid."
"You can just jump down on everyone and turn them into worms,"
the imp added encouragingly, ignoring this last remark. "No, turning to animals is an 8th-level spell. I never even completed my training. I only know one spell."
"Well, that'll do."
"I doubt it," said Rincewind hopelessly.
"What does it do then?"
"Can't tell you. Don't really want to talk about it. But frankly," he sighed, "no spells are much good. It takes 3 months to commit even a simple one to memory, and then once you've used it, poof, it's gone. That's what's so stupid about the whole magic thing, you know. You spend 20 years learning the spell that makes nude virgins appear in your bedroom, and then you're so poisoned by quicksilver fumes and half-blind from reading old grimoires that you can't remember what happens next."
"I never thought of it like that," said the imp.
"Hey, look, this is all wrong. When Two Flowers said they'd got better kind of magic in the Empire, I thought... The imp looked at him expectantly. Rincewind cursed himself. "Well, if you must know, I thought he didn't mean magic. Not as such."
"What else is there, then?"
Rincewind began to feel really wretched. "I don't know," he said. "A better way of doing things, I suppose. Something with a bit of sense in it. Harnessing the lightning or something." The imp gave him a kind but pitying look.
"Lightning is the spears hurled by the thunder giants when they fight," it said gently. "Established meteorological fact. You can't harness it."
"I know," said Rincewind miserably. "That's the flaw in the argument, of course." The imp nodded and disappeared into the depths of the iconograph. A few moments later, Rincewind smelled frying bacon. He waited until his stomach couldn't stand the strain anymore and rapped on the box. The imp reappeared.
"I've been thinking about what you said,"
it said before Rincewind could open his mouth.
"And even if you could get a harness on it, how could you get it to pull a cart?"
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"Lightning. It just goes up and down. You'd want it to go along, not up and down. Anyway, it'd probably burn through the harness."
"I don't care about the lightning. How can I think on an empty stomach?"
"Eat something, then. That's logic."
"How? Every time I move, that damn box flexes its hinges at me." The luggage, on cue, gaped widely. "See?"
"It's not trying to bite you," said the imp. "There's food in there. You're no use to it starved."
Rincewind peered into the dark recesses of the luggage. There were indeed, among the chaos of boxes and bags of gold, several bottles and packages in oiled paper. He gave a cynical laugh, mooched around the abandoned jetty until he found a piece of wood about the right length, wedged it as politely as possible in the gap between the lid and the box, and pulled out one of the flat packages. It held biscuits that turned out to be as hard as diamond wood.
"Bloody hell," he muttered, nursing his teeth.
"Captain Eight Panther's Traveller's Digestives, then," said the imp from the doorway to his box. "Saved many a life at sea, they have."
"Oh, sure. Do you use them as a raft, or just throw them to the sharks and sort of watch them sink? What's in the bottles? Poison?"
"Water."
"But there's water everywhere. Why do you want to bring water?"
"Trust."
"Trust?"
"Yes, that's what he didn't. The water. Here, see?"
Rincewind opened a bottle. The liquid inside might have been water. It had a flat, empty flavour with no trace of life. "Neither taste nor smell," he grumbled. The luggage gave a little creak, attracting his attention. With a lazy air of calculated menace, it shut its lid slowly, grinding Rincewind's impromptu wedge like a dry loaf. All right," he said. "I'm thinking." Ymir's headquarters were in the Leaning Tower at the junction of Rhyme Street and Frost Alley. At midnight, the solitary guard leaning in the shadows looked up at the conjoining planets and wondered idly what change in his fortunes they might herald. There was the faintest of sounds, as of a gnat yawning. The guard glanced down at the deserted street and now caught the glimmer of moonlight on something lying in the mud a few yards away. He picked it up. The lunar light gleamed on gold, and his intake of breath was almost